palms were sweaty, and my heart was in my throat as my plane made its descent into London. I could hardly believe I was really doing this, hardly believe I had found the courage to run away from home. I wiped my palms on the legs of my jeans and wondered if Mom had figured out I was gone yet. She'd been sleeping off one hell of a binge when I'd left the house, and sometimes she could sleep for 24 hours straight at times like that. I wished I could be a fly on the wall when she found the note I'd left for her. Maybe losing me would finally turn on the light bulb over her head and she'd stop drinking. But I wasn't holding my breath. I'd had no trouble finding and contacting my father. Mom would never have dreamed of telling me his name when she was sober, and he wasn't listed on my birth certificate. But all it had taken were a couple of probing questions when she was in one of her drunk, chatty moods to find out his name was Seamus Stewart. The Fae, she confided, didn't use last names in Faerie, but those who lived in Avalon had adopted the practice for the convenience of the human population. In the grand scheme of things, Avalon is tiny, its population less than 10,000, so when I'd gone online and brought up the Avalon phone book, I had no trouble finding my father. He was the only Seamus Stewart listed. And when I called and asked him if he knew anyone by my mother's name, he readily admitted he'd had a girlfriend of that name once, so I knew I'd found the right guy. Before that first conversation was over, he had already asked me to come to Avalon for a visit. He'd even sprung for a first-class plane ticket into London, and never once had he asked to talk to my mom, nor had he asked if I had her permission to come visit him. I'd been surprised by that at first, but then I figured she'd been right that if he could have found me, he'd have spirited me away to Avalon without a second thought. "Don't look the gift horse in the mouth," I reminded myself. The plane hit the tarmac with a jarring thud. I took a deep breath to calm myself. It would be hours still before I would actually meet my father. Being a native of Faerie, he couldn't set foot in the mortal world. If he'd decided to kidnap me, he'd have had to use human accomplices to do it. The unique magic of Avalon is that the city exists both in Faerie and in the mortal world, the only place where the two planes of existence overlap. When my father stood at the border of the city and looked out, all he could see was Faerie, and if he crossed the border, those of us in the mortal world wouldn't be able to see him anymore. He'd arranged to have a human friend of his meet me at the London airport and take me to Avalon. Only when I got through Avalon immigration would I be able to meet him. I went through the immigration and customs process in London in something of a daze. I'd been too excited and nervous to sleep on the plane, and it was definitely catching up with me now. I followed the herd to the ground transportation area and started searching the sea of placards for my own name. I didn't see it. I looked again, examining each sign carefully, in case my name was misspelled and that's why I'd missed it. But the crowd of drivers steadily thinned, and nowhere did I see anyone holding up my name. I bit my lip and examined my watch, which I'd adjusted to London time. It was 8:23 a.m., and when I'd last talked to my dad, he'd estimated that if the plane was on time, I'd get through customs somewhere around 8:15. His friend should be here by now. I took another one of those deep breaths, reminding myself to calm down. Dad's friend was only 8 minutes late, hardly worth panicking about. I found a comfortable chair near the doors, my gaze darting this way and that as I looked for someone hurrying into the terminal like they were late. I saw plenty of those, but none of them carried a sign with my name on it. When 8:45 rolled around, and there was still no sign of my ride, I decided it was okay to get a little bit panicky. I turned on my cell phone, meaning to give Dad a call, only to discover I couldn't get a signal. Belatedly, I wondered if American cell phones worked in London. I swallowed another wave of nerves. Dad had sent me a lovely getting-to-know-you gift, a white rose cameo, and I found myself fingering it anxiously. I'd been in and out of a lot of airports in my life, and if the flight was long enough, my mom was invariably sloshed by the time we landed. Even when I was like 8 years old, I'd been capable of steering my mom through the airport, finding our luggage, and arranging a taxi to take us wherever we needed to be. Granted, the most exotic place I'd ever had to do it was Canada, but heck, this was England, not India. Telling myself not to sweat it, I found a bank of payphones. Because my mom couldn't be trusted to keep track of bills or anything, we'd arranged for me to have my own credit card, which I promptly used to make the long-distance call to Avalon. I let the phone at my dad's house ring about 10 times, but no one answered. I hung up and bit my lip. I'd been nervous enough about this whole adventure. Now I was stranded at Heathrow Airport, and my dad wasn't answering his phone. Add to that a crushing case of jet lag, and all I wanted to do at the moment was curl up in a snug, comfy bed and go to sleep. I swallowed a yawn. If I let myself get started, I'd never stop. At 9:15, I had to admit that the chances of my dad's friend showing up were slim and none. My dad probably wasn't answering his phone because he was waiting for me at the Avalon border, as he'd promised. So, okay, all I had to do was get a cab to take me to the border. It was only about 25 miles out of London. No big deal, right? I exchanged some money and then got in one of those enormous black cabs they have in England. It felt really weird to see the driver on the wrong side of the car, and even weirder to be driving on the wrong side of the road. My driver drove like a maniac and talked nonstop the entire way to Avalon Southern Gate. I don't know what his accent was, maybe Cockney, but I only understood about a third of what he said. Luckily, he never seemed to require a response, aside from the occasional smile and nod. I hoped he didn't see me flinching and wincing every time it seemed like he was about to squash someone into roadkill. Like everyone else in the universe, I'd seen lots of pictures of Avalon. You could find about 1,000 guidebooks dedicated to the city. I had 2 in my luggage. And just about every fantasy movie ever made has at least 1 or 2 scenes that were filmed on location in Avalon, it being the only place in the mortal world where magic actually works. But seeing Avalon in person kind of reminded me of seeing the Grand Canyon for the first time. No photograph on Earth could do it justice.